Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and Alexa was spilling some dirt on my life here. But she's got to be whispering all night. So hello, Alexa. And tonight we're talking about Sour Grapes, the final six of Survivor the Amazon, and the boot episode of Christy, possibly maybe one of the most important players in Survivor history, because she really did embody that whole, like, literally anyone can play this game, coming out there being deaf in an environment that was not very conducive for deaf people, considering at night there's literally tree cover, so there's not even like moon that you can see people speaking. Her talking to Butch at the one point where she's standing an inch from his face with the candle. I love that shot. But this is the episode where Christy goes home despite the fact that she is in total control. And this is my favorite episode of Survivor the Amazon. I think that it is the best by far. It shows how good of a player everybody, with the exception of Butch, is on this season. But it also just shows why this season is so highly regarded. I mean, every one of them is just pure fire this whole episode.
Yeah, and this type of episode where the swing vote goes home, this is one of the best episodes of Kageon, which happens however many years later. So this shows that the strategy of Survivor Amazon is at a level of modern Survivor. And I think that has a lot to do with Ra being a very progressive player. And what I love about this episode is this really hits the crux of what is Survivor. Because Jenna and Heidi are pissy that they didn't get their way. Rob's a huge pain in the butt. And he's like, well, this is the game. Like, what else are we doing here? And so it's like, it feels very meta without anybody actually knowing that it's meta.
Yeah, and Squidman, if my mic is still low-key whack, let me know.
Oh, you sound great now.
Yeah, okay, so I guess I was using the mic was just picking up the wrong thing. I don't know what was going on. I think I might have done my entire movie podcast with John with the crappy mic then. But yeah, no, I love how Rob has to kind of explain to them, like, if you hate me so much, just vote me out. Like, you've had so many opportunities to do it. Just write ROB. And if I go home, I go home. And if you don't like it, then don't vote for me at the end. And I think this is the thing that kind of goes missed throughout Survivor. Like, as fans and as people who talk about it all the time, all we ever do is say, oh, well, I hate that person. I can't believe they're keeping them around. And everybody else can complain about how much they hate that person, but if they're going to keep them around, then they're going to keep them around. Like, if you don't like somebody, that's the beauty of Survivor. Get rid of them. And I think that's what's so enticing about this game. In season six was the first time that we really saw people start to think about that, because before this, it really was voting along party lines, tribal lines. I don't know why I said part, but tribal lines. Pat socks looks like party socks. You vote along tribal lines. And with the exception of a Jerry here and there, or when the row 2-4 go down, but then it is still along those tribal lines. This was the first time where people were really starting to kind of think about this because of Rob and because of players like Dina, who don't get the credit that they deserve because Rob ultimately bests them. But people were more willing to bounce back and forth. And yeah, like it's pretty much, if you're going to go out on Survivor, this explains it. If you don't like what somebody's doing, vote them out of the game. And if you don't have the power to vote them out of the game, then they're just going to keep doing what you don't like them doing. Like, that's just your problem at this point.
Exactly. And you're not going to like it until the point that it benefits you, which is exactly what this episode is. Jenna and Heidi are like ready to go home. And then all of a sudden, and again, we talk about this all the time, and I never really saw it because I never analyzed the Amazon that much. Heidi is figuring it out. And Heidi is the one who approaches Rob. She goes to Christy and doesn't get a good vibe. And then all of a sudden they're like, what? She's getting too cocky. And that's there's so many reasons that the season is so good. And it's like, of course, the deaf bullied girl is the one who then becomes too cocky and goes home completely shell-shocked. It's so amazing because throughout this entire season, and even throughout this episode, you switch who you want to win. Who you want to win this vote. And at some point it's Matt. Like, it's just, it's a complete mess. And with so few people, it's amazing how much the alliances don't mean anything.
Yeah. And the one regret I have from when I made my top 100 list, because, you know, my top 100 list is the most perfect of all of the lists. But the one regret I have is actually not putting more people from this season in my top 100. I only have three, and that's Rob, Heidi, and Jenna, and people give me a really hard time for putting Heidi. I have Heidi at what number do I have? I have her at 67, and people give me such a hard time. But to navigate this season with Rob and with your big allies and in people like Alex and Shauna and whatever going home, with people like Dina going home, mm-hmm. to be able to navigate this season the way she did, I could have put her even higher. Like, I really do believe that Heidi is one of the most underrated female players in the game, because people always talk about like those young hot girls who kind of overcome it and then they show like they have this strategic prowess, but nobody ever talks about Heidi in that genre of player, mm-hmm. which really blows my mind, because she really is one of the best to ever play the game. And we see it. We talked about it with Sandra last week when we talked about the Fair Play episode where Tawana goes home. The same thing happens here where she hates Rob's guts. This is where I draw the line. I'm done. This is cross. Jenna saying, this is where I cross the line. This is it. I'm done. Whatever. And Heidi's like, no, this is what you want. You're disgusting. You're this. You're blah, blah, blah. And it keeps going on and on and on. And then at the end, when there's an opportunity, great. Let's do it. Let's get rid of her. You want to do it? I have to trust you. I don't have a choice. Let's do it. That's playing the game of Survivor. Think about what Jenna and Heidi do in this episode. They go from being down 4-2 to getting the vote to be 4-2 in their favor against somebody that everybody wanted to bring to the final four without any idols, without any advantages, without any anything. They just played Survivor.
Without even a concept of those. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even a conversation topic. This, they are playing modern Survivor by just how they think, by just not voting mm-hmm. along gender mm-hmm. lines or voting along alliance lines. And mm-hmm. I think the reason Heidi is underestimated, because I think she's on a season with Rob. Rob's the face of the season. She's got the hot girl thing, but she also, like, the way she talks, like, I wrote down a quote. She said, I would never turn my back on people that I love. Yeah, and I wrote that so down dramatic. Because it's clearly still early Survivor where it is like a cardinal sin to do whatever Rob does, which isn't even that bad. But she has a problem with it, totally overdramatic. 40 minutes later, she's buttoned back up. She's mm-hmm. playing the game the next morning. So she has, like, you can have the post-tribal council meltdown, and then the next morning, as long as you're coming up with a new game plan, that's a sign of a great player.
Yeah, and every now and then you're going to get just a flat out bad season of Survivor. It's just going to happen because the votes aren't going to go your way and all that. But Amazon proved that if you just put the right mix of people together on a season, you don't need anything else, because you had horny guy Rob, who was such a strategic mastermind, but somehow found himself aligned at one point, at one time or another, with the two hottest girls in the game. And that's what he wanted. You had quiet man Matt, who had no clue what was going on and had to kind of be taught by Rob, but Rob had to use him as a shield pretty much throughout the entire game. You have Alex, who is just like phenomenal TV. Him and Shauna with their relationship and everything. And it's just, but they all, every time you think you have the Amazon figured out, you don't, just down to Jenna winning in a landslide over Matt. And it's just because of the natural progression of the game. It's just because of what happens. There's nothing else to this other than what is actually taking place on the island. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's why I love Amazon so much, and why I love like Vanuatu and stuff. There's no other layers to it. And sometimes that's good, because when you have players like Rob and Heidi and Jenna, and a player like Christy, who has probably not been in many power positions in her entire life, she's probably not been in many positions where it's like, great, I hold the cards, especially, as she always says, the evil stepsisters and all that, over these beautiful girls who are in Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
Now she holds those cards and she overplays her hand because she's never been in that situation before. And what does Rob do? He says, screw this. I can't deal with it. I got to go back to the people who hate my guts. And it works. And Matt is willing to go with them too, because Matt understands how that's going to benefit him. It gets Heidi one more place. It gets Jenna $1 million. That is how impactful these types of votes can be. And what is so exciting about a season like this?
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Matt, because he's sort of like a major player in this episode. And we do this every week, but like, I forgot that this is the episode with the family visit. Rob even said, like, at this point, everyone is still like, I'm bringing Matt to the final two. Like, everyone mm-hmm. wants to do that. But even Rob, after the whole family visit situation where he lets everyone meet their family, even Rob is like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. Mm-hmm. But then one episode later, when it is the finale, you do wonder if Matt's going to be Jenna. And sure, he's like kind of weird, but I really stand by no one would think he was that weird if Rob didn't have that one confessional about him sharpening the machete. He's an odd duck, but he seems like a great guy. And it seems like everyone really likes him.
Matt is another one that I wish I would have put in my top 100. I think he belongs in a top 100. I hadn't watched Amazon recently enough. John and I, as we go through our top 100 movies, it's funny because we actually did an amendment as we're going through and like we're keeping track of where we would rank them now that we're actually watching them in order. And you shuffle because what have I not seen, different times in your life, whatever. I think Matt is an incredibly underrated player who gets docked way too many points for losing to Jenna. As badly as he does. He didn't know what to do at the final tribal council, but he didn't know what he was doing most of the game. He actually plays the game very well for somebody in his circumstances. He learns a lot about himself, and he learns a lot about just the game of Survivor and about human interactions. Had his social game been better, he would have won the game, but he gave them nothing at the final tribal council. Mm-hmm. And I think had he given them more, it's a closer vote. And I think Matt goes down as one of the better runner-ups. Instead, he gets totally forgotten. I had him as kind of a joke. No way he'd be in my top 100. After rewatching Amazon, I'm like, he's a great runner-up. It's just that he lost to somebody people don't respect as a winner because of Rob.
Exactly. And that's the thing. This all does boil down to Rob. People don't respect Jenna because of him. And then at the same time, people don't respect Matt because of him. And it's not just him. Everyone kind of like, he's certainly like an odder dude. And he ends up being kind of in like the outside dudes alliance, but they all like him. Like there's definitely that still like familial kind of relationship with him that everyone has. He feels a bit like the dad because Butch is like, just kind of not.
He's
like
the crazy uncle.
Do you know who should have made it to our Thanksgiving aunts and uncles?
Butch.
Matt.
Matt. Yeah, Butch would have burned down the place, though. But Matt should have. Yeah. Matt, I don't even know if Matt's an uncle. I think Matt's just the cousin who you haven't seen in 30 years. But for some reason, he's been living in Tanzania. And you're like, what's he doing here?
Like, what were you doing there? How many machetes were you sharpening?
Yeah, exactly.
And Butch is just brutal.
Yeah, but brutal, but so entertaining because he's such a cornball. It's so Butch is so early 2000s because he's like Mr. Feeny. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is that Boy Meets World? He's Mr. Feeny where it's like, I'm like so over the top positive and you believed in yourself and look at what you did. And blah, blah. But that's why he bonds with Christy so hard. And what's amazing is had Christy not overplayed her hand here, Christy's probably going to the final three. There's a good chance that she actually makes the final three because I think Rob was more concerned about Matt at this point than Christy because he probably assumed Heidi and Jenna would never vote for Christy. He knew that even if he voted Matt off, Matt would end up voting for him. He's got three votes already. He's just got to find one more. Who knows where he's going to get it from, but he's probably going to get it from somewhere. Alex, Dina, someone's going to throw him a bone.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to talk about Christy a little more too, because she really early on when she first starts like realizing the position she's in, she has a really good comment about how she likes the boys more, but thinks she can go farther and or win with the girls. And this is, again, kind of the first time at this point in Survivor where it is a very clear, I know what I should do, but what makes me happier? And people, I think, consistently have made the incorrect strategic decision because they don't want to hang out with the people who they would end up having to vote with. And it's really cool to see that in real time, and especially as divided as boys on one side, girls on the other side.
Yeah. And I think what hurt Christy at this point is a 3-3 vote was just too scary. And Rob didn't want the 3-3 vote, and he was probably able to pitch it to Jenna and Heidi and say,
is it still whoever has more votes?
No, this would have gone rocks. This would have gone rocks. Oh, right, after Survivor Marquesas, everything was rocks because Marquesas wasn't supposed to be rocks. It was supposed to be fire, but everything is rocks. Yeah. And so I think Rob probably explained that to them and said, look, you can take your chance with me and vote the way I want to, and Christy will go home, or you can try to force a tie, and guess what? You're going to lose. Like somebody's going to go home, and there's a better chance it's one of you. Mm-hmm. He probably pitched that to them, and that's what hurt Christy, but Christy is right, and not for nothing. Christy gets to the final two and is sitting next to Jenna or Heidi. She's winning.
She's winning.
Yeah, she's killing them. And I really think that Christy probably beats everybody except for Rob if she gets to a final two. Because I think that she would have gotten the votes. Beats Butch, beats Matt, beats Heidi, beats Jenna. I really think that happens because I think people would have just respected the fact she should have been the first person voted out. You know, I mean, that was her storyline. This isn't like with Chad with one leg in Vanuatu, where he had kind of learned to live with that. Even though that happened to him later in life, he had learned to live with that. And it's something where, yes, it might be a detriment to him in challenges, but he was still built really well. It didn't affect his social game. Being deaf, and like she talks about early on in the season, not being able to talk around the fire, not being able to be a part of it and all that, that's a huge detriment in Survivor. That's a bigger detriment than a physical ailment in Survivor. And therefore, I think that like what she was going through, people would have just been like, how the heck did you do this? As not just somebody who's deaf, but somebody who is such an outcast compared to everybody else who was on that original tribe.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The way this tribe breakout worked was there were the older women, there were the hot younger women, and she fits into the younger women demographic, and they all hated each other. Uh-huh. So she was really solo. I feel like kind of for most of the season, I can't really remember what alliance she was in, but she is like triply disadvantaged just in terms of how the game went. So, I mean, someone has here saying, if I remember correctly, Dina said Christy wouldn't beat Jenna, Rob, or Matt. We kind of just talked about she definitely wouldn't beat Rob, but
she would have beaten Jenna or Matt because she would have got, people forget that she still would have had to get there and people would have respected that.
And she also still, I think this jury is more male heavy or it's kind of even, it depends who she takes to the end. But especially I think if she flips, then I think that's huge for her.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, it's so hard to play that. And that's why it's hard to play that game where, oh, well, this, that, like Rob says in this episode, because Jenna's like, well, you're going to get Butch and Matt's vote. And he's like, not really.
Yeah,
not really. Like that might not happen because I have to screw them over. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that people forget. Christy would have screwed over the guys, but I think Butch would have looked at it as a positive. Like you believe that you could go back to the people who your whole life had bullied you. And here you are. And I think that he would have looked at that as a positive, and that might have swung some of the guys, because as much of a joke kind of as Butch was in terms of game, I think people really liked Butch. And so if you really like him, you're going to respect him and you're going to respect his decisions and such.
Right. And he's no strategic mastermind, but at the end of the day, like you're going to listen to the people that you like, especially near the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was also this, you said it briefly, but this was our second week in a row here of a family visit. And we had the family visit very odd this time, or they didn't bring them out until afterwards. And Matt had the decision of, what do I do? Do I take it for myself or do I give it to everybody else? And the reason why I really want to focus in on this is because I think it answers such an age old question in Survivor. When people are faced with these types of decisions, like we see Cindy faced with in Guatemala, or we see it throughout, I could give it to everybody or I could take it for myself. They always look at it as the double-edged sword. If I take it for myself, everybody's going to be pissed. If I give it to everybody, then they're going to want to vote me out because I'm going to get the votes at the end. Matt gets one vote at the end. Should have gotten two. Christy voted the wrong way. He gets two votes at the end. He still loses despite doing this because the rest of the game still happened. Mm-hmm. And I think people need to like if you're going out to play Survivor and you're ever faced with this kind of thing, just like – and you have to trust in your alliance, and your alliance should trust you enough that all of your actions throughout the game are more meaningful. Like Angelina, when she gives up whatever she gives up in David versus Goliath, everybody's like, don't care. You're still going to get zero votes at the end.
Right.
Like this one moment doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens all around the entirety of this game. And we see it in this season perfectly. Matt gives it up. Rob even says anybody would have done that, but now Matt gets to look good. I'm scared I can't beat him. Arguably the weakest, or the second weakest because of Butch, of the final six, goes out and beats Matt 6-1.
Yeah. Do you think it has something, do you think it has anything to do with where the player stands at that point? Because Matt was already kind of seen as a goat. Angelina, definitely a goat at that point. Like, I mean, if Tommy does it, or if Rob, I don't know if Rob's a good example here, but like if someone who's in a good position does it, do you think it makes them more in danger versus the person who's never going to win? It doesn't matter.
No, I don't, because I think that there's certain people where you're in such a good position, you worked your way up there. Like Tommy could have done no wrong in Island of the Idols. I don't think people understand that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like everybody used to call him Teflon Dan from Nicaragua because he would just slide by. Is Teflon Tommy. Tommy literally was never on anybody's radar the entire game. Mm-hmm. Tommy was able to convince Nora that he wouldn't be good at making fire, and even Dean calls him out on that at the end. Like, I just think that with, like, there's certain people who would be in too good of spots. Now, there's other people who aren't. But if you really think about somebody like Cindy, who decides to take it for herself and not give it to everybody else, and everybody gives her a hard time for that, Cindy was at the bottom of that totem pole anyway. Maybe Lydia was the only one beneath her, but Lydia goes 4, she goes 5. Not much of a difference there. So I think it if you're in good enough of a position, I actually don't think it matters at all. I think it's when you're in that middle road position where people think, like, overthink it. And I still don't think it really matters all that much there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a good point. What do you think about the fact that Matt ends up getting his mom in the end?
I like it. What I like about this is that he gets something entirely different than what they got. They got the alcohol and the rushed meal. And then Matt got a whole night thing with his mom, with the dance and everything like that. I like that he got so much for it.
Yeah, he gets a better experience.
If it would have just been like they got him and then all of a sudden here comes Matt's mom now, that would be dumb. But I like that this was always the plan. What I would have been curious to see is what would have happened had they not said yes. Would Matt have just had 15 minutes with his mom? And that's kind of like the middle finger to them. They have this whole tribe of people who's coming in ready to do this whole dance and stuff. You got to think that they're going to utilize that somehow, but what were they going to use the table next to them for then?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What are they? Because they come out after the challenge, it's like, are they going to fly them all out and actually not do anything with them? There's no way that's possible.
Well, they would have at least had their highs, because remember, everybody comes out. Oh no, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Because Matt says, no, I'll give it up. And then that's when everybody comes out, because Matt's mom didn't come out.
Right. Yeah. So how do they, they probably have a contingency plan anyway.
Yeah.
But kind of going back to this. So the Matt and Christy, who's in Guatemala? Cindy. Matt and Cindy. They make the opposite decisions. Doesn't work out for them either way. At the end of the day, do you just, you take the selfish one, you get the car. I take the car.
Bird in hand is better than a bird in bush, right? I mean, that's that old saying, because it's the truth. You know, don't count your chickens before they hatch. You have to take, in a game like Survivor, in life in general, if you have a chance to be gifted something, you take it. You should take it, like, seriously. And, like, that's not being selfish. That's just realistic. Like, if somebody is offering you something, you should take it and hope there's no motive behind it. Hope all that. I'm not saying, you know, if you get a scam from 123AJ4 @gmail.com and all of a sudden it's like, hey, we have $500,000 for you if you give me your social security number. I'm not saying that. But if it's somebody who you have any type of relationship with, then yeah, you should, like, accept that. You should take it. And you can't expect, like, Cindy 100% makes the right choice in Guatemala. If she says no and gives the cars to everybody and she gets nothing and then they vote her off anyway, now you don't have a car, everybody else does, and you don't have $1 million. Screw that.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And at the end of the day, I have to actually think about this, but I don't think anyone has really gone home except for Cindy strictly due to the decision that they made at bringing the family or not bringing the family, getting a car versus not getting a car. The car curse, like, there's so many factors that go into that. And if your relationships are so poor that the only reason that you go home is because of that, then you weren't winning anyway.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is, like when Rafe gets mad at Cindy and decides, I'm going to vote her out, blah, blah, blah. And so what? He votes her out. Clearly she was expendable to him anyway. And at the end of the day, in a game like Survivor, everybody is expendable to you. And that's what Rob Cicerino lays out so well in this episode, is I'm here to win. My mom said, good job, Rob. Like, he's so pathetic. He's so bad, but good job, Rob. He can't act. He can't stand up for himself against hot girls. It's okay. Yes. I have the same problem, but good job and all that. And he's just explaining it because Heidi and Jenna, they weren't playing the game that Rob was playing. But don't think for a second that them complaining about what Rob was doing wasn't playing the game and trying to get Butch and Christy sympathy so that they will then go and vote Rob out so they can get to the final two and cut Butch and Cindy next time.
totally.
Christy. Now we said Cindy too.
I know we're mixing our women up, but that's like, that's what's honestly more interesting to me about this episode. When Rob and Jenna and Heidi are going at it about what you should do in Survivor. And I love Rob. I cannot stand him this, like, watching this season, but he is correct. They're like, you're dishonorable. You're this, that, and the other thing. And he is the first person in Survivor at this point to say, I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
I want to win. Do you want to win? Because this is how you win.
And Rob's whole thing, and, you know, this is just like that. He's like, it's so like New York, because you see it from Dom. You see his accent. Like, but the whole like, oh, well, I love you. You know, like when Heidi's like, oh, I wouldn't do that to people I love. Rob's like,
I don't love you.
I don't care about you at all. I love my family and I care about that. And you see that throughout Survivor history, kind of like this New York mentality, which we were talking about before this podcast, Alexa. Yeah. There's a difference in that Northeast mentality than there is in a lot of other places. Boston Rob became famous for not giving a damn about anybody in the game except for the family, which was Amber. That was it. That was it. That's why he became famous. And so, like, you see it throughout this season of like, there's like, I think that's what's so good about Amazon. While it might look a little stale on paper when you look at the cast, just because the only two people to return from this season both went out very, very early in their next appearance, while it might look a little stale on paper, every single one of these players that make the merge is completely different from everybody else that they are there with. Jenna and Heidi are totally different from each other, even though they're both very attractive. Alex, Dave, and Matt, totally different from each other. Butch, totally different. Christy and Dina, totally different. And Rob is his own little island. They are all so unique. And I think that's what makes this compelling, because as they're all playing the game, they're not all playing the games at the same way. Jenna Maraska, I believe, also New York, right? I think she's also from New York or something.
I think so.
But she's also got that same personality of like, I'm going to defend my own. Leave her the hell alone. You're being ridiculous. But also, I hope this kind of gets votes in my favor because this is awful. Jenna goes on in this episode to be the first person to give up an immunity necklace. Guess what? Didn't matter.
Totally pointless. Also, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So close. Same vibe.
It's still Northeast. Northeast, honestly, and it's not Western vibe. Pennsylvania, so it's the same.
Yes, honestly, stronger vibe.
It is Western Pennsylvania. I thought you said Philadelphia, Pittsburgh.
Forgot that we talked about, the immunity necklace, which this is actually going to carry into next week's episode too, but like, why?
I think that essentially what she's saying is, if you guys are lying to Heidi, I hope you vote me off.
Yeah.
This was Jenna kind of quitting the game a little bit here.
It happens a few times.
Logchi says her immunity give up was essential, though. I'm curious why you think it was essential, because to me it was more of saying, if you're going to lie to us, I'd rather just not be in the game anymore because I'm tired of the disgusting lies. So here you go, Heidi. Like, you stay. You can battle it out. I don't want to be here anymore. They don't lie, so she's fine. So, like, that's why I don't understand why it's essential. So, Logchi, I'm interested to hear what you'd have to say with that. Rob wanted Jenna as a goat and wanted Heidi out and used the necklace to protect both. There you go. Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah, if Rob wants to keep Jenna and wanted – that's true. He wanted to go to the end with Jenna. He felt that that was the only one he could beat. So now you can't blindside Heidi, and if you are, you're going to screw up your plans of getting to the end with somebody you think you can easily win against.
She's also not like – wouldn't have been super pissed if she got voted out, I assume.
No, she wouldn't have been mad. She wouldn't have been mad if she got voted out numerous times throughout this season.
And this – is this the start of her immunity run? Because she wins. This is the shuffleboard one that she wins.
Yeah. She wins every single one for the rest of the game.
Yeah, which is wild.
Right? And I know she wins it at final five. No, she doesn't win it at final five because they could have voted her out and they decide to vote out Heidi, and then she wins the rest of the immunity.
I think Rob win that one, I think.
I don't remember.
Maybe Matt. Who knows? Yeah. What was I gonna say? Yeah, and she gets a lot of shit because like it's like I think like Kim and like Chrissy's wins were like a bit more physical than this, but you know. She pulls it out.
She won shuffleboard. Who cares? I mean, not for nothing. She won the part where you actually had the slingshot. And Matt had one puck. I thought Matt was good at literally everything. Although Matt is purposely losing.
He's losing
at this point. Yeah. But you know, whatever. He's literally being as bad as he possibly can. towards the end of this game, when it's not something like he wanted the loved one visit. He wanted the car. Doesn't want the other stuff, so he doesn't want immunities, so he purposely loses them. It's so funny.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, if he would have won them, I'm not saying he would have won them, but had he tried, he might have won one or two more, and that actually might have put him over the top. Because at the final tribal one, he's like, "Yeah, I purposely lost the final three." Everybody's like, oh, "You're an idiot! you're dumb!
You're an idiot!
You're like, why did you do that?"
Stumbles to the finish line for sure.
Matt stumbles to the finish line after learning so much, and then just keeps going down. Matt who wins at 5 lock Jesus. So there you go.
Other notes I have, everyone gets trashed, which this is a great group to get wasted. This is a great group of six, or I guess group of five,
because Matt's gone. And actually it's perfect that Matt is the one who's gone, because I love when his mom's like, "You're being too formal." He's like, "Oh, am I?" And I'm like, "All right, serial killer, down here." But it is a great group that's left behind, because you have Rob, Heidi, and Jenna, who are definitely partiers without a doubt. You have Christy, who's just pumped to be there, and like, now you're going to bridge the gap. And then teachers can drink, that's for sure. I don't care if you're a principal or a preschool teacher, you can drink.
You've seen some shit.
Yeah, you can drink. And for without a doubt, the drinking is going on with Butch, and he blacks out and passes out, and he's vomiting right next to her. I love Rob Cesternino's confessional in his really tiny underwear, when he's like, "It smells so bad here," and his eyes are like crossed and stuff because he's so hammered. So funny.
It's so good. Oh my God, it's so good. They're a great, great, great group.
Yeah, I love it. This is just such a fun cast, and this is such a fun episode, and that's what I like the most about it. It's just such a fun episode. It's a fun
season.
Yeah.
And even when there's drama, it's like so stupid, and they get over it really quickly.
Because it's like high school. Vanuatu didn't have a high school feel to it, men versus women. But this one with the men versus women had such a high school feel to it because of the way the guys were and the way the women were, and then the way they interact once they start playing with each other. It's so funny to see them all just like resort back to like their, "Well, I'm going to defend my girl against the nerdy bully guy." And then also like, "But you're still my friend. So can we vote out like this girl who doesn't fit in with our clique?" Sure. Awesome. Moving on. Like, it's so high school, but it works so friggin' well.
Yeah. It's so, and that's kind of what you want out of boys versus girls. And I like that Vanuatu is kind of like the older version of that. Like, it's still just as like catty, but it's like 20 years later or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a great older first men versus women.
Yeah. 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 There's so much going on between them. And like they had a good boot order for this season, because having the younger people mixed in with Christy, and Christy's young, but having the young attractive people mixed in with Rob and Christy and Butch, such a good mix, because
Breakfast Club.
It is. And then you have Dina, who like, you know, probably the second best player on this season, but just gets duped actually by Alex, I guess, more so than Rob. But yeah. It's just, there's so much good here. And this episode, this final six, just shows that there's so many ways out in Survivor. There's so many ways out, even if it seems like there's no hope. There's always a way out.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's vote out the swing vote.
Yeah. That's it. So vote out the swing vote, everybody. That's the message from here. And even if it's at final six, you can still find a way to vote out the swing vote. You just got to find your pairings. You got to find your pairs, because that's what I think was undervalued or underappreciated right at this point in Survivor, the Amazon, was that it was pairs. And that's why Rob wanted to get rid of Alex, because he was worried that he was stronger with those two girls and he was to be left out to dry. So get rid of Alex, keep your pair with Matt, keep Christy and Butch. You're not worried about Christy and Butch outsmarting you. Now you just got to figure out how you can keep Matt. Rob positioned himself. And I know everybody gives him a hard time at this point, but Rob positioned himself pretty perfectly to his final six. He wins against everybody pretty easily because of who it was. He just doesn't get to the final.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't know if it's common knowledge, but I feel like it's been said that he absolutely beats Jenna. Like, he beats everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. He beats everybody.
The only problem is that it's, you know, you can't get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jenna at the very end, she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm taking like who I think is like deserving." And then bam.
And then takes Matt. Yeah. Exactly. She knows she'll beat.
Exactly. Do what you gotta do.
But yeah, so that's this episode. And this episode features the first immunity necklace give up, which, you know, we already talked about. And then obviously Eric's is much more famous and people kind of talk about that one all the time. But Alexa, what are we doing next week for our final five?
I genuinely did not think that this season was ever going to be mentioned, but Phil did some digging for the final five episode, and we are going to the South Pacific to the final five episode called And Then There Were Five. Very original, just as exciting as the season. Mm-hmm. And we are going to watch the episode where Brandon gives up his immunity necklace, gets voted out, and somehow is not made fun of as much as Eric.
Because he then gets to go, yeah, he is, but it's also later, and then he gets to go over to Edge of Extinction, so it's not as quickly. But we wanted to, final five episode, I really believe that Coach's episode in Token Sheens is the best episode in Survivor history, so we might as well give Coach a little bit of love. And in this episode, he uses God against poor Brandon, so that Brandon and Albert uses whatever Albert needs to use to get Brandon to give up this necklace. It's so hard to watch. It's so cringy. Bad. We're going to have to watch a little bit of Redemption Island, which is the first episode that we're actually going to watch. All the islands.
You said Edge of Extinction and then
I know. I'm going all over the place. This is the first time, though, we're actually going to have to watch it. And I'm not looking forward to those scenes. But Brandon giving up the necklace is one of those more forgotten, exciting moments in Survivor history because it happened in such a bad season that was so universally despised at a time when, you know, now we're down to final four, and then Ozzy just comes back into the game anyway. So what difference does it really make? But this was such a good moment, and the way that it all works out, it really highlights Sophie. It really highlights Coach round two, and it really highlights that there was a guy named Rick on the season who showed up for 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's somewhere. He's certainly there. Yeah. But we'll be back on Tuesday with that. So not this Tuesday, next Tuesday with that episode. Phil, what did you guys talk about for your movies last night or tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, we talked about it today. What did we talk about? It just happened. Talking about The World's End, which is the end of the Cornetto trilogy. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End. Go watch that one. It was fun. John and I had a good time talking about it. John didn't like it as much as I did, but I connect way too much with Gary King. And then John had Heart of a Dog, which if you can find it, good for you. It was on Amazon for $1.99. It's a Russian TV movie. I'm telling you, John just pulls movies out of his butt. And he's like, I love this movie.
I would love to see his algorithm.
I don't know what he does, but he loves like pre-Stalin/Stalin era Russian movies, like movies that came out later but are about that time period of Russia. He loves it. I don't know, depresses the shit out of me in a way that I don't like to be depressed. So
I was about to say, you've got how many more weeks of this?
We have 71 more.
Cool.
We're so actually cruising 29 episodes already, Alexa. That's a lot.
Wild to think about.
I know. Especially I'm doing this for more than half a year. Been doing it for more than half a year, and honestly it's pretty good. I mean, I like doing it. I just watched my movie for next week already tonight, so that was good too.
And guess what else that we've been doing for more than half a year?
We have been
doing daily content on our Patreon for $20 patrons. We have just pre-recorded our 200th daily content episode, and it was really, really fun. We probably could have done an entire like 2-hour episode about it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to listen to it, become a $20 patron. And if you want to listen back on all 199 other daily contents, mm-hmm. tune on and become a $20 patron at patreon.com/survivor specialist.
Yeah, and the season is right around the corner. We are so close. We are so close to everything coming out. Alexa and I were already tonight discussing what are our plans for when the cast is going to be announced. We can't wait for it to get going. We are so excited for it to actually happen. I can't believe it's right around the corner. And yeah, that was Alexa's best segue, arguably, in the history of her podcasting
career.
So everybody needs to pat her on the back.
I'm feeling real good about that one.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what. Lightning doesn't strike twice. So, you
know, they're all gonna suck as usual.
Yeah. Use that segue, everybody. Have a good night. Thank you all for tuning in on this late by East Coast standards night. And a month away. The next time we podcast, we will be less than a month away from Survivor season 41. That's crazy. I almost
forgot the number.
I can't count that high. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.